This is episode 3, the final episode of a true crime podcast. My name is Ava Levine, and you are listening to Ted Bundy's Life. Here's a little refresher. Like I said, in episode 1 and 2, we talked about how Ted Bundy went along with his murder victims and what he did and etc. So he basically killed about 36 women, all in the span of a few years. The most horrifying victim to me is Kimberly Leach. She was 12 years old, like I previously said. And he would pose as a police officer or pretend he was in a cast and ask women for help or say he was lost, and they would fall for him because he was charming. And he would beat them and rape them, kidnap them, kill them in the woods, etc. Whatever. Awful, horrifying. And like I said in the last episode, it basically shows how women are now afraid of society in today's world because of someone like him. And he would lie to Liz, say he wasn't doing anything like that. He covered everything up. He was convinced he didn't do it. Convinced he wasn't a bad person. He was a manipulative liar. He also would lie about small things, like stealing from stores, shoplifting. Liz would find tools in the back of his car, and he would say, "Oh, my buddy gave them to me," when they were actually stolen from a place like True Value or Lowe's or something like that. He would lie to her and say that, "Oh, I didn't take that. That was a gift," even though she knew better. So this episode will be about how he was caught, what type of forensic science, what type of evidence was used, what was his death penalty like. So this will be about that type of information, the last parts of Ted Bundy. One day, Ted Bundy was in his cell, and a bunch of reporters and police officers ran into his cell, pinned him up against the wall, and took a mold of his teeth and a bunch of pictures of his teeth, because they found a picture of someone with a bite mark in their left buttock, and they wanted to see if the bite mark would match Ted's bite marks, which it did. And basically, they would take pictures of the woman, unfortunately, dead. They would take pictures of the weapons he used. He took pantyhose off of a woman and strangled her to death with them. He bit off someone's nipple. Like, they would take pictures of everything to get this man caught, because no one wanted him alive or around for much longer, even though he convinced himself he didn't do it, which is crazy to me. Basically, what he did was just vile. And the police found it, took pictures of everything, reported a bunch of people. So that was a type of evidence they used. They used video evidence of women talking. They used picture evidence of the sorority house he broke into, raped a bunch of college girls. He would use, like I said, stuff like pantyhose. They would take pictures of that. So they drew Ted Bundy. They took pictures, they used videos. And another type of evidence that no one really thinks of, but I think it's very good evidence, they record the jury. They record the courtroom of Ted talking. They recorded the judge giving him sentences. They recorded what witnesses had to say. I think that's a really good thing for evidence, because if he wants to go back and lie about it, they can go back and be like, "No, you said this. You said this other thing, and you're lying about it." And I think that's a really good piece of evidence that they used. They also put it on TV, so everyone knew what the first words were. So if he twisted his lie, people would unravel that web. So like I said before, he was caught by the teeth marks because they perfectly matched his crooked teeth. And that is forensic odontology, I'm pretty sure. It's forensic odontology is primarily concerned with the use of teeth and oral structures for identification in a legal context. So it is legal. They can run in and shove him up against the wall and say, show me your teeth, put it in this mold. And that's what they do. They take his teeth and they compare it to the buttock. And then once they found out that it was Ted, they sentenced him to death by the electric chair. And the electric chair, they will strap him down, ankles strapped to the bottom of the chair, like you're sitting in a literal chair. And then his arms strapped to the armrests, and there's something that goes on his head, like a lampshade kind of thing. They turn it on, it electrifies him throughout his whole body, and electrocutes him to death. And the day he got sentenced to death, like the day of his death penalty, people were outside. Men too, women, men, everyone were outside with signs that would say, burn Bundy burn, go or die Bundy, or just stuff like that. And then once people said that he was dead, people cheered and clapped and were just so free again. And yeah, basically they just were really happy and they were excited that they could feel free to roam the streets again. In my opinion, I think, I know this is like a small opinion and people don't usually say these types of things, but I think the police should have shut down the whole town to find him, like they did with the Boston bombings. They shut down the whole town, city, wherever, to find this man. And they found him within 2 days. And I think they would have done that, but Ted Bundy kept escaping because he knew he would get caught. He knew he did it, even though he convinced himself he didn't. So forensic odontology came in clutch and saved us all. Thank you for listening. My name is Ava Levine, and this was a true crime podcast called Ted Bundy's Life.